I guess we're sorry. I randomly like cut my lip right before we started recording, and like it wasn't like a regular cut. You know when you get dry lips and it busts open. I feel like this was because of another issue I've been having where my permanent retainers randomly have like a little piece of metal sticking out of them now, and I feel like that might have like cut into it. So there's a lot going on right now. Thankfully, I don't know if I'll be talking a lot this episode. Because, you know, this is kind of like a part two of our catch-up, or at least Sada's catch-up on what she's been up to.
Welcome back to Yap City with Sada.
Welcome back to the Cousin
Connection
podcast.
I was like mid trying to cross my legs.
Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's why you like that chair so much. Yeah. I was talking about getting rid of these chairs and maybe like reformatting the room, because we've kind of made a couple changes. We're going to be making more changes over the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. But like, we've kind of freed up the room. So I was like, you know what? Let's try and move things around, but let's get rid of the chairs. And she's like, no, I love the chairs.
I love these chairs. They're just like a security blanket.
Yeah. Okay. We might stick with the chairs, even though they're like abnormally large.
They are pretty big. They take up a lot of space.
Yeah. They do take up a lot of space, especially in this room. Like, you guys don't have perspective of how small this room really is.
Mm.
Because everybody who comes into this room always says, oh, it looks a lot smaller than
what you guys see online.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're gonna be sticking with the chairs, maybe. Hopefully, I think how sad I want it, but we're gonna be making some other changes.
We may or may not get rid of the green screen. I know y'all love it.
I know, but you know, it's like time to change. I'm just saying, you know,
it's been almost 4 years.
Exactly,
which is insane, guys. Yeah. Like,
I'm tired of looking for new backgrounds. Okay. I don't know if you've noticed, but I just now have a backgrounds folder. I'm like, they won't remember this one. We're like 20 episodes ago.
No facts, though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know what? 2025 is the year of change.
Mm-hmm.
We're feeling inspired.
Yeah, you had a good start to your 2025.
Did I?
Yeah, by going to Umrah.
Oh, I was going to say I was in the hospital, remember?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Besides that.
Besides that. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. Coming back from Umrah definitely makes you feel like inspired, motivated, mm-hmm. et cetera. I'm literally sweating.
Come on now. It's not that hot. No, I'm wearing a sweater. I am the first person who normally says, or it's visible that I'm hot.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's this. I think it's my sweater. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't allow air ventilation.
Oh, you know? Okay. You are wearing like a full on knit like cotton sweater.
And it's like itchy. Like, touch it.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't yeah, do these kind of sweaters.
It's my deep regrets. It's fine.
Yeah. Just but go with the flow. Going back to last week's episode, so Sada was catching us up on her Umrah trip.
Yes.
And we had to cut it off. Even like Mecca itself needed a whole episode. So
no,
we
literally
made sure to dedicate that to it because of how much goes on. But you still have like another week and a half.
Yeah, three other cities.
Yeah,
we
and there's like a lot of other things that we have to cover.
Actually.
So hopefully, inshallah, I don't know how eventful
I'll,
compact it a little bit.
Yeah, I'll compact
it.
I do want to say though, like, thank you guys. Okay, you know this because obviously, like, we know each other in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who knows me in real life knows I love telling stories.
True.
So the fact that y'all recognized and complimented my storytelling abilities, that's a real compliment. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Shout out to y'all. Sorry for the break there, but hopefully we came back with a banger.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed. And you know, jazakallah khair for all of the, like, dua and the kind words that you guys all said. Inshallah, you know, side note, my parents, you guys will see this in the vlog. This is one tiny little spoiler alert.
Yeah.
They made so much dua for the Cousin Connection family.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they genuinely, because I mean, I was vlogging, right? So I was like, make dua for them.
You have to tell them that part.
So, you know, they definitely made dua for all of you guys. May Allah, you know, invite us all back to do Umrah.
Yeah.
And to do Hajj every year, inshallah. So
Cousin Connection group trip, Umrah?
Yo. That'd be kind of crazy.
Ain't nobody getting through us. Our wall will be so tight.
I can literally picture you. Yeah. In that, like,
oh,
being like,
God,
brothers, don't lose a link. I could actually picture you doing that.
Hold it down, brothers.
But nah, like, Amir. Don't mess with the Turkish or Indonesian aunties. They will literally body slam you. You think I'm joking? They're like four or five.
The UFC in the middle of there or something?
Yeah, Amir, they are strong. Like, mashallah, I don't know what kind of strength they have.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
it's a power provided by Allah.
No, for real. They're not getting my dad over. Mm-hmm. And he's a big guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
actually, I never even asked like how your dad was dealing with all the rush of people. Because I feel like for you guys, it's smaller. Like, okay, it's easy to imagine that you guys might have some trouble, but I don't know how your dad would be with it.
So, okay, when like to give you guys context, when we first started doing the tawaf, mm-hmm. like you have to start in a specific corner, right?
Yeah.
And so like we had to walk to that, mm-hmm. but because it was so jam packed,
yeah,
we kind of had to like walk a bit and then get to the starting point.
Yeah.
So when we got there, my dad was actually leading the way, mm-hmm. but because he's a lot taller than us, bigger than us, like he blocked our view. So we were getting like body slammed and I'm like, nah, yeah. this configuration ain't working for me. Let me lead the way. Mom in the middle.
Yeah, and you mentioned that part, but how was he like being body slammed around?
100%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like there were times where like if you can't turn around. Yeah. Like if you lose course, you're going to get like trampled. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like determined. I'm walking. My mom's holding on to me. My dad's holding on to her. And then at one point she's like, stop. I lost your dad. I'm like, what? I turn around and I see him like, you know, literally going like,
it's like that meme. I forget.
Not the SpongeBob one.
But just one like of a guy in a crowd. I can't remember exactly. Maybe I'll pop it up. Or maybe I'm just making this meme up in my mind.
It should be.
It's like
meme.
Some weird like Mandela effect. But only for me.
I know what you mean. Because why did I picture the meme? See? I know
what you mean. But if I find it, I'll put it up there. But essentially it's like that, like, everything. And that whole like Nicki Minaj that I was playing.
No, literally that was going through my head at one point, because like, you know, you're getting shoved and you're getting mm-hmm. pushed, and it's just like remembering to be patient.
Yeah.
And remembering like, you know, have husnuddin, like give your Muslim brothers and sisters mm-hmm. like the benefit of the doubt, and mm-hmm. remember why you're there. And I had to constantly remind my parents, because I think for them it was a little bit of a culture shock. And I'm saying this as if I've been there before, but I obviously it was my first time too. I had been warned by several of my friends who have mm-hmm. gone. They're like, listen, be patient. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to get pushed. You're going to get tested. And, you know, I feel like I kept my cool for the most part. Mm-hmm. Until it was the very last day when I told you guys my farewell tawaf, and I was like, nah, like, y'all doing too much at this point.
Check out the clip we made on that one.
So I think I ended off the last.
Yeah, so you were literally getting into Medina. You were talking about like how beautiful it was.
So we get to Medina. Mm. You know, most people end up getting sick after they finish Umrah.
Yeah.
And they say it's a good sign. It's sort of like a cleansing of, you know, your, like, yourself pre-Umrah.
Yeah.
And like, you know, anyways, it's a good sign.
It's like
to
a
get
detox,
sick.
A sickness detox.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I ended up getting sick, and it didn't help that it was freezing cold mm-hmm. when we got to Medina.
Which is surprising in the middle of the desert. Yeah.
No, I know, but I guess it was their winter time.
Oh, yeah,
winter,
I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
And so did I talk about the Uber story yet? How we got the Uber?
That was in Mecca. I don't know, not in Medina.
Okay. So we get to Medina. My parents are still on cloud nine at the fact that they went on like the business class train thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, guys, it was like a couple dollars more. Like, I could flex, but like I really, you know, don't worry about it. Anyways, we get there. I request the Uber. And then after about 15 minutes of waiting in the cold, mm-hmm. our Uber driver comes. And so he loads up our car, and my dad greets him first. So he's like, you're not Sarah. He's like, Sarah's my daughter. He goes, oh, okay. And then we get in the car. Mm-hmm. He goes, where are you from? Where mm-hmm. are you from? Are you Saudi? Like, where are you from? And then my dad's like, oh, we're from Canada. Mm-hmm. Background is Ethiopia. And then the Uber driver, his name is Abdullah, by the way. Mm-hmm. He was so like enthusiastic. Yeah. Mind you, this is like 11:40 p.m.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like for them, time is like relative. It's like it's irrelevant.
Yeah. So he was like, "Oh my, do you know Bilal al-Habashi?" And my dad's like, "I mean, I don't personally know him, but I know yes, we've heard the stories about him."
Yeah.
He's like, "Mashallah, wow, are you guys related?" And he was like,
"Let me check. Check our family tree."
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, he starts driving and he's like, oh, like, did you just finish Umrah? And mm-hmm. we were like, yeah. So he starts talking to my dad and like kind of sprinkling in Arabic. Mm-hmm. My dad's not fluent, but I feel like on this trip, he just, the language just came to him. Yeah. I don't know. He just started speaking.
They've all learned it at some point, right? It's like that thing where, like, when you're in the environment, it's like me. When it comes to Harari, our like native language,
yeah,
it's like, you know, I out in Canada,
yeah,
I might struggle a bit, but in Ethiopia or Harar specifically, I can pick up a conversation like pretty easily after maybe like a week of being there.
That's actually, you know, that's a valid point.
Yeah,
that happened to me when we were in Paris with Nabat.
Yeah,
and our taxi driver only spoke French, and I was like, oh, crap.
Hey, like, when it's do or die, you'd be surprised where your mind can go.
And so I'm talking to him. Nabat's looking at me like, where the hell did you learn that?
Yeah.
I'm like, girl, don't question it. It's my broken French. I'm speaking to him. But anyways, now we're driving and he goes, you know what? I'm going to cancel the Uber. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? He's like,
what?
Don't worry. I'm going to take you guys on a tour. And I'm like, it's okay. You can keep the thing on. I don't mind paying. He's like, nope, I'm going to cancel it. And I was like, oh, so we're gonna die today. It's fine, we're gonna die. It's
start
okay.
Going down some dark alleys. He starts asking you where your passports are.
Literally. So he starts pointing out Mount Uhud, and I'm like in awe of how big it is. But also the beautiful thing is, I guess the Saudi government decided to install like these lights that illuminated the mountain at nighttime, so it looked even more beautiful.
And so
we're driving by it. We get off the highway. And then he's like, you know what? Let's make a quick detour. I'm like, great. Sure. Like, I just want to go home and sleep. But okay. Yeah. So we go. He takes us to. Oh, no, I did tell this story.
You told the story, sorry, you were passing by it, but not about like stopping and doing all that.
Okay. So we actually like stop at Masjid Shuhada, which I believe I spoke about last episode.
Yeah. Possibly.
Where Mount Ramat was.
Yeah, you spoke about the mountain, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he first takes us to the masjid, and it was closed, so we couldn't go in. Or I don't know why we didn't go in, but I think it was closed. But then he's like, you know what? I want to get you guys authentic Medina dates. And I'm like, can we not do this tomorrow? So we go, we buy a kilo of dates.
Yeah.
And then he's like, do you guys want Zamzam water? I'm like, I mean, we'll get it on our, it's okay, don't worry. He's like, okay, let's put the dates in the car. I'm actually going to get you guys to climb a mountain. And I looked at him and I was like, brother, I am sick. Can we go to the hotel? He's like, no, listen, this is a great opportunity. So I'm like, where is said mountain? Are you talking about that one? Yeah. And I'm pointing at like Mount Uhud, which is massive. He goes, no. This one, like he called it Jabal Rumat. I probably should have pulled up the story, huh?
What story?
The story of like what happened on that mountain. Basically,
you
during
can't
the, I think it.
Oh, you mean what historically happened?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're telling the story. I never get it. Here, while you're looking that up.
Yes.
This like shows you how scarred we are from like dealing with people in the Western countries.
Because
you feel like there are people who will take advantage of you even there.
Yeah.
But like. For the most part, like, Arab hospitality is known to be very, like, you know, like, they'll treat you like family.
Yes.
For the most part. But you're not ready for that yet. So you're, like, sketchy and you're, like, you're, like, questioning almost everything they say or they're going to do for you. When really, they're, like, their heart's in a good place. They're, like, yeah, you know, you're part of the family now, right? We're brothers and sisters in Islam.
No, literally.
Let me take you around and show you, like, what the real Medina, right?
Yeah, he's like, you know, part of the people of Medina, of the Prophet's city. So like, I should have, this is my bad, you know, like I should have had a better
expectation,
better opinion of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like I should have just known. But like you said, we have been scarred in the past. All the different times we've traveled and the different people that we've met. So but anyways, I digress. We get to this mountain, which is like close to Masjid Shuhada, and it's called Archer's Mountain or Jabal Ramat. Anyways, it's
okay. I know this mountain now. Okay,
you
go
do?
Ahead.
Oh, yeah. You do. Oh, you looked it up, right?
Huh? No, I just know the story.
Oh, you do.
Is it about the guys who were waiting?
The Prophet instructed them to not to move, so he positioned them on the mountain. Yeah. It was during the Battle of Uhud. Basically, some of the archers then left.
Yeah,
like they came off of the mountain or the hill, I guess.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
I don't know if you want to call it a mountain. But anyways, they came off. And then from there, the Muslims were attacked because they weren't staying in their position.
They didn't follow the order, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when we climbed it, honestly, like when we were at the base of the mountain, it doesn't look that high, but it's like a true mountain. Like it's rocky. There's no paved road.
And you guys are wearing like, are you wearing sandals?
We're wearing abayas. We're wearing abayas and it's dark outside.
Yeah.
And he's like, come climb the mountain. And it's cold. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right. We climbed the mountain and it was pretty, there were like maybe like 5-6 people at most.
Yeah.
But by the time we climbed it and he was like, let's take pictures. And I'm like, okay. So we take pictures. Amir will insert photo here. And he told us the story. And I was like, wow, this is, you know, amazing. And then from there, we finally climbed down. And I think he could tell, like, I think my dad told him, like, can you take it to the hotel?
Where you go?
It's 12:30. We should, you know, we have a tour booked at 7 a.m. So we're like.
Oh, you had a tour already booked?
Yeah. We already had a tour booked.
Yeah.
So one of, actually, I wanted to like bring this up. Someone that we know from Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Warsami, and his wife Noor, very like dear friends of ours. They live in Medina. And so I had reached out to be like, you know, I want to see you guys. And then I found out that Warsami actually gives tours in Medina, like different historical places. And so I had booked one for all of us already at 7 a.m. And so one of the first places we stopped was Archer's Mountain. But subhanAllah, Amir, you know how I told you we were there the night before and it was quiet? There were so many people on this mountain.
Because it's daytime now, right? Like,
it was 7 a.m.
The sun's out.
But I was so shocked. Yeah. Like, I was just like, whoa, there's so many people on here. And the craziest thing is that actually Aisha met one of her fans on there.
Really? Yeah. On the mountain?
Yeah. So random.
Actually, was she with you guys earlier as well in that midnight? No, she wasn't.
No, they got there a little bit earlier than us. Okay. Yeah, they left earlier. And so... So yeah, anyways, we Warsami took us on this like 4-ish hour long tour. And we got to see like many different historical sites, and he just like the way he tells the stories, like it really just helps you connect that much more to Medina. Like you're already connected, like our hearts are connected because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried there and his companions, but like actually hearing the stories and like we would just be driving in this taxi with him.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, "Oh yeah, over here the Prophet did this, this and that." And you're just like, wow, like that's so like you feel something, you know what I mean? Like knowing that our Prophet was in these areas that were just passing by so casually. And so we had a really enjoyable experience. If you guys happen to be going to Umrah or Hajj, or you're like gonna be in Medina and you want a tour with stories and like it's actually like really enjoyable, it makes you connect to the city more. I'll put his, you can reach out to him through Instagram. I'll put his Instagram in our description. And so, yeah.
I haven't seen him in like years.
I know, but
I feel like this guy, because we kind of grew up with him.
Yeah.
Like, he was actually he wasn't one of my teachers, but like he was like one of the guys who was like teaching some of the younger kids too. And then next 1 week they're like, I was like, where do you go? And he's like, oh, he's in Egypt. And then the next week I was like, where do you go after that? Now he's in Medina. So, you know, he's been doing his thing. And honestly, like, I feel like he was one of the like trailblazers and people who would were like, you know, we always complain about the West, why not go to like a at least most Muslim predominant country?
Yeah,
right? Because it's hard to call these countries Muslim countries now, outside of maybe like Saudi, but it's go somewhere where like, you know, you're surrounded by your own people.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, he's definitely a trailblazer in that. It's good to see that he's doing well out there.
Yeah, he is. He's they both are, mashallah. They're That's the best place to be, honestly.
So. Yeah.
But
it's the best. It's the blessed place to be, honestly. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm done. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
That was, yeah, okay. Okay. So, you know, at this point, we haven't actually seen the Prophet's Mosque yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the last stop of the tour was the Prophet's Mosque.
Yeah.
And so we got there and, you know, different to Mecca, like when you see the Kaaba, I tried to explain to you guys as best as I possibly could
mm-hmm.
how I felt when I saw it for the first time. But when you see the Prophet's Mosque, it's like your heart doesn't like, it feels like, you know, when you, let me try and explain this. When you finally take like that sigh of relief, that feeling of like,
yeah, you like, feel like you're in a safe space.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. truly like, and it's like, you know, it's not that I was anxious in Mecca, but it was like the beauty, the majestic awe, the aura of mm-hmm. the Kaaba, like really just like kind of gets you like, mm-hmm. oh my God, like I actually looked at my heart rate when yeah. I saw the Kaaba and it was high. It was between 135 and 155 beats per minute and I was standing still.
Damn. And so, I think it's also in Mecca is the knowing that you have something to, you have like a task to complete here now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you know that you're going to have literally almost be fighting the whole time you're yeah, there because yeah. of how many people are there. But now with Medina, I feel like,
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The masjid was packed.
Oh, really?
There were like, I thought it was going to be quiet, mm-hmm. but there were so many people there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was, there were a lot of people in Medina
mm-hmm.
and you know, like you see, like again, I have only ever seen these places through pictures and vlogs mm-hmm. and stuff, but seeing it in person and realizing how massive
yeah.
the mosque is, you're just like, wow. This is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw the Green Dome and I was like, oh my God. And then I got emotional yeah. and I was like, when's our Rawda appointment?
Yeah. Do you think you got as emotional as Mecca as well?
I think like in that moment, no, mm-hmm. because I knew that like I was going to have my time mm-hmm. when I had my Rawda appointment.
I see. Yeah.
And so, you know, we got to pray. It was good. Like we actually like took our time mm-hmm. and now that we all had like eSIMs,
yeah,
it was a little bit easier to like separate from each other mm-hmm. and then find each other again.
And I feel like also because when you're in a place with so many people, mm-hmm. I know you said Medina was busy, but because I feel like it's even more busy.
Yeah.
I feel like even getting signal there was an issue. No.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Then that's why I couldn't find my parents. The
exactly.
Last day.
Yeah.
But in Medina it was a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, here's the thing. Is there still a rush of people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like during prayer times. In mm-hmm. Mecca, there's a rush of people all the time.
Yeah.
So that was a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like we got to like kind of look around and we found a spot in the masjid with my mom and we prayed and like we sat there. I think we waited in between Asr and Maghrib.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed and then we left. And I believe our Rawda appointment was the next night.
So you have to have like a full on appointment for this thing.
So here's the thing, okay? Because mm-hmm. I'm sure people who have gone before me, they're before you would just make an appointment and you just show up.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to make an appointment. And then I think within 4 hours of your appointment, you have to confirm it.
Ah.
So mm-hmm. Aisha, my dad, didn't do that.
Mm.
And their appointments both got canceled.
No way.
And so I remember this was like the next morning now.
Yeah.
So that day, Aisha had one at 8 a.m. And I was like full-fledged sick at this point. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to sleep. I'm not going to leave my hotel.
Yeah.
I'm going to like leave later on. So she is messaging me like panicking. And she's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. They won't let me in. My appointment got canceled. What do I do? And she was mm-hmm. like fully freaking out. And I was like, what do you mean they canceled it? And so she's like explaining to me like, you have to confirm your appointment.
Oh, so she was one of the first people to try and do it.
Mind you, my dad's appointment was at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So this is like maybe she's telling me this at like 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Dad, confirm your appointment. It was too late.
Oh.
So he was like, oh my God, it says it was canceled.
Yeah.
So then he was like, you know what? I'm just going to. So what she did was basically there's this thing called fast track or instant track, I believe, mm-hmm. where you just kind of like refresh it every like 30 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. And then you can find appointments that way.
Oh, so like maybe the people who got theirs canceled, there's like openings.
Yeah. Or they just like open up spots.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing is that they sell out, like if you're not there
mm-hmm. when 5 minutes, pops up.
Then you're out. You're yeah. out. Like it sells out so quick mm-hmm. or not sells out, but like gets booked up. Sorry.
Yeah.
So she ends up getting one for the last morning that we were there.
Okay.
So after
good.
Us.
Yeah.
And then my dad was like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to rely on Allah and, you know, whatever. Basically that my way through. Yeah. I was like, no, they're like really strict. You shouldn't do that. He's like, no, I'll be fine.
That's such a dad move. Like,
I know.
My dad would probably do the exact same thing.
So he goes.
Yeah.
And I believe we met him at the masjid at this. Yeah, we met him at the mm-hmm. masjid, and he told us that he actually got in twice. Like he went in twice without an appointment. And I was like, how? He's like, because I was just waiting in line with all the other men.
Yeah.
And then when it came to me, they thought that I had already like
had
went
an
through.
Appointment. Oh, okay.
No, they thought that he went through. So they were trying to take him out. Mm-hmm. And then when they like kind of like took him out of the line, he just went and then ran
back in.
He ran in.
Yeah.
And then he was like I was in the front. Mm-hmm. He's like, I prayed where the prophet prayed, like mm-hmm.
You know what that teaches you? Sometimes you just do have to rely on Allah,
literally.
You should always, but you know, even in the times where it seems like it's not gonna happen or
nothing,
it's impossible,
nothing is impossible for Allah.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly. That's a lesson to take from that.
No, truly. And I was so happy for him because mm-hmm. he didn't get to touch the Kaaba like we did.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, mashallah, like it was meant for you. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my mom and I, our appointment wasn't until 1 a.m so mm-hmm. we were like, do we just wait here? Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
So we what did we do? We actually ended up we left
getting
the mosque
food.
We got food. Yeah, actually,
I knew,
you're right,
I knew.
We did get food. We got food. Yeah. We came back to the hotel, and then around like I want to say maybe like 11, mm-hmm. we went back to the masjid.
Yeah.
And like it was still packed. There were still a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were just lining up for their Roda appointments, men and women. I don't know what time the men were going to go in because.
And how many people do they let in at once?
In like maybe 100.
100 people?
Yeah. It was
in
like
the
big
Roda?
Group.
Roda is like pretty small, no?
It is, but like not everyone is in the first few lines, right?
Yeah.
Like some of them are in the back, so they kind of just take turns. Like mm-hmm. essentially they let a group of people in mm-hmm. and then people are praying in rows. They're like making their dua and stuff.
Yeah.
And then as they're done, they leave and then people move up and they kind of just keep cycling
because,
that way.
Like, I've never been there. When I hear about the Roda, every time I think about the Roda, I think it's like literally like one spot.
So think of it this way, right? Because mm-hmm. they let you in through a certain gate for the women.
Yeah.
I think for the men, it's a little bit different. You guys are on the front. Mm-hmm. We're on the side.
Yeah.
So for the women, you kind of like walk through the masjid and you're in a single file line. Mm-hmm. And then there's this. So think of the grave of the prophet is like here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making like a square. I guess for those that are listening audio, try your best to visualize.
Yeah.
Think of like a rectangle. That's mm-hmm. the grave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the graves with
area.
Yeah. And then the men come in the front.
Yeah.
So the graves are like this. 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
The men come in the front. The women are on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Or the grave is to our left side. So we're on the right side.
Because
it's on our left. I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It, like relative to the grave.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the men, you guys like literally come through a line. You mm-hmm. say your salams. I think
everyone's seen that video at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that on social media a lot.
But for women, mm-hmm. we don't go through the front.
Mm-hmm.
We go through the side. Mm-hmm. And so there's like an area that's blocked off that is known as the Roda.
Mm-hmm.
So between the pulpit? Is that what it's called
in
English?
It's like the minbar.
Is that that's
not
English.
The pulpit? Yeah, I guess let's say that's.
Was that what minbar is?
That's the closest equivalent to it. Equivalence?
So in the side between the minbar, which is, I guess you can call it a pulpit in English, the mm-hmm. minbar of the prophet and the actual grave, that area is known to be the Roda, which is, you know, I guess translates to like the Garden of Paradise,
mm-hmm.
which is why a lot of Muslims, like our hearts are attached to that area
mm-hmm.
because it's part of paradise. And so when you have your Roda appointment, And it's pretty small. It's marked though, so if you look for certain signs, you'll know if you're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my mom and I got in, the male guards were surprisingly like pretty like aggressive and rude, and I was like,
I've heard that they're always very aggressive and rude in that area.
And I understand mm-hmm. crowd control. People mm-hmm. are pushing and not listening, and like not everyone speaks Arabic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get it. But like also you could be a little bit nicer.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, we make it inside the masjid. And I knew that there were a lot of women in front of us. So I had a game plan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I told my mom, I'm like, listen, we're not going to make it to the roda immediately. We're not going to be in the first few lines. So when you get in, before we get kicked out, you just pray two rak'ah sunnah, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Make your dua, and then we're going to move up. But just follow my lead. She was like, okay, I understand. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, great. So we get in, and it's a, think of like an open area inside the masjid. And I can see where the roda is, yeah. Like the first field. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm right there. And I'm like getting giddy, you know? Mm-hmm. But I was like, I have to compose myself. What is it? You know that one TikTok? It's like, no, not yet.
Oh, I
you haven't seen that one?
That might
oh my God.
Be on my side of TikTok.
Okay, you have to insert it because otherwise I'll look like a creep like okay. saying that. But like,
yeah.
But that was me. That was literally me. So that I'm like, okay. So the women guards now, they're all like, okay, like pray, everyone pray. And they're speaking in Arabic, but I understand what they're saying.
I'm sure you hear Soli, Soli.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So they're telling everyone, like, hurry up, pray, mm-hmm. pray, pray, because we're trying to, like, get everyone in and out quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Mom, just pray right here. So we're praying. I know we're not in the roda, but I'm like, whatever, we're praying. And I'm getting emotional now because it's like we're, like, in arm's reach. Like, we're yeah. in close proximity. So we pray, we make our dua, and then we stand up, and then the guard sees us, and she's like, go, exit. And I was like, but can we just go to the and then it like I lost control.
Yeah, you started crying in front of her.
I was like, but I just want to go to like we're right there.
Yeah.
So then my mom hugs this woman. She's like
the guard.
She's like, Ukhti, please, we came from so far.
Yeah.
Ukhti means sister. She's like, please, we came from so far. I promise, we're just gonna pray real quick, make our dua, and we're not gonna stay long. I promise. I please. And she's like holding her hand. Mm-hmm. So the lady. She's like, khalas, go. And I was like, I love you. I'm going to make dua for you. So she goes.
It's like a movie moment right
literally.
There.
So we, yeah. the way I grabbed my mom and I said, run.
Yeah.
So we run. We squeeze through. Another guard sees us. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Allah.
So I said that loud enough and clear enough for him to hear it.
Literally. So I'm like, pray, pray. So we're praying now. She can't touch us.
Yeah.
Now we're in the roda. I prayed happily, took my time. No yeah. one touched us.
Mm-hmm.
We finished our prayer. We made dua. Mm-hmm. Like, when I tell you I took my time, I was taking videos, pictures, making dua, sending my salam, yeah. saying, every single one of my relatives sends your salam, Rasulullah. Like,
yeah.
So I'm just like really taking my time,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't feel rushed, which yeah. I don't know how because there was chaos around us.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's getting yelled at, pushed, pulled, mm-hmm. get out.
Probably one of the similar to that moment in the Mecca where like everything slowed down. You're like kind of just in the moment, white noise.
No, yeah, truly. Like
mm-hmm.
we took our time, and once we were like, okay, and then they were like, okay, sisters, please, mm-hmm. like you kind of have to move.
Yeah.
We're like, okay. So then we moved, and then there was the area. There's an area, you know, in, I forgot what this is called, but you know the area where the imam is supposed to pray, so the wall is like concaved. What's that called?
Oh, the, shoot, now that you're asking,
mihrab? I'm forget.
Yeah, mihrab. Okay, you got it.
Sire?
You got it.
Yeah. Sire? Memory.
How do I forget the word? You know, sometimes when you get put on the spot, you just forget. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
And so there was one there. Mm-hmm. And then it was like closed off with a glass case mm-hmm. type of thing. So my dad had actually told us this before because he was there. And actually so did Warsami. So there's on the right side,
mm-hmm.
there's like a black strip. And it actually says it in Arabic, like this is where the Prophet mm-hmm. prayed. But to actually preserve the spot, like where the black strip is where his feet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were. Mm-hmm. So like the back of him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were able to go like really close to it.
Yeah.
Took pictures too, made more dua, and then we saw the minbar. Mm-hmm. My mom was like, do you want me to take a picture of you here? Mind you, we're like kind of still like in an emotional state. Yeah. I was like, girl, no. So I was like, if you want one, sure. Yeah. So I took pictures of her there. And then we, you know, slowly, you know, you make your way out. But it was just like something about being with a bunch of other Muslim sisters, like all united for like
the sake of Allah.
The sake of Allah, but because of one man, like mm-hmm. when you, and I think I like, I kind of just went deep in thought in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, subhanAllah, like the, obviously, you know, none of us are able to do what we can without the help of Allah and everything is willed. And it just made me grateful that we were part of the best nation.
Yeah.
And it just like that, that's when the true emotions kind of came out. Like after I was leaving, I was just like, wow, like because you're in such a, like your adrenaline has kicked in. Even yeah. though I felt calm, I wasn't like, like, you know, rushing, mm-hmm. but like it hit me after the fact. And so we didn't actually get back to our hotel until about 3 a.m. because we wanted to take our time at the mosque. Like yeah. even after we left, we sat by the Green Dome. We were making dhikr, we were reading Quran, making dua, and like there were a lot of other people doing the same thing. Yeah. It was like 2 a.m. so safe,
like as the time is relevant there.
Yeah, like it yeah. and it was just so normal. There were people singing Madih, like it was mm-hmm. just such a nice vibe.
Yeah.
And yeah, then we got home and my dad was like, are you guys okay, like where were you?
Oh yeah, because he's chilling by himself.
Exactly. So we told him the whole story yeah. and he was like, you know, really happy for us. Mm-hmm. He was like, honestly, I kept calling you. I was like, sorry. Yeah, I put my phone on do not disturb. You know, that was my time.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So then, you know, that was, that kind of sums up, I guess, my feelings about Medina is mm-hmm. just truly feeling like tranquil, at peace. Mm-hmm. And it's such a foreign feeling to me because I feel like I'm stressed 24/7 or just like, maybe it's just life in the West,
yeah,
where you have this like hustler mentality. Mm-hmm. You always have to be doing something, like, and it's kind of sad because being stressed is not a flex at all. Actually, it's not.
Yeah.
But
and also because like in the West, nothing is centered around worship at all.
Correct. Right? Yeah, that's true.
Like when like,
well,
when
I mean, in the States, maybe it's more like Christian worship.
No, because like even in Christian worship, like there's nothing. There's nothing they have to do. There's nothing that's mandatory upon them to do every single day, like Muslims, right? Even okay. like prayer, like they have no real rules in Christianity.
I mean, I don't know if we should say that.
Okay, I'm very ignorant on like Christianity, but like when it comes to your daily activities, yeah. But when it comes to your daily activities, like it's not like you must pray this and do that kind of thing.
You think like they're more like suggestions?
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah,
they've kind of geared society more towards like just making you a workhorse, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like in like more Muslim countries or countries with a lot of Muslims, they gear everything towards like still being able to get your prayers in.
Yeah.
And like, you know, not really prioritizing like that overworking yourself mentality.
That's, you know what? You're actually right about that because. Mm-hmm. On our last day in Medina was a Friday, mm-hmm. and I booked flights like later in the afternoon so that I knew we could make Jummah prayer because mm-hmm. like Jummah in Medina?
Yeah.
Really? Like that's crazy. So I didn't know that it was going to be this bad. So I'm thinking, okay, Jummah is around like 1. I think the prayer was around like 1:30. Mm-hmm. So I think we tried to like call an Uber to go around, I want to say like 12:30, an hour before. Rookie mistake.
Yeah, super. I've seen some of the pictures.
Rookie mistake. You want to know why? Mm-hmm. Because why did our Uber drop us off about like a 10-minute walk away? Because he's like, the roads are closed. Everyone's yeah. praying. I'm like, what do you mean the roads are closed? He's like, people just stop their cars in the middle of the road and they go. And I was mm-hmm. like, really? Is that safe? He's like, you're in Medina, sister. And I said, oh, yeah, you're right. You are right. Mm-hmm. So we walked mm-hmm. and we didn't even make it into the masjid. We were like in the, I guess this is like the courtyard, like yeah. the outside area of it.
Is it where the umbrellas are?
Outside of that too.
Outside of that
too. Because that was packed.
Yeah.
I have pictures. I'll show you guys. And I vlogged that too because mm-hmm. I was in such like I did not know.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Now, I've seen pictures where like the line goes outside of the masjid, but like down like the street.
Yes.
And like to the point where there are literally people in the middle of the street just going, Allahu Akbar.
Like, it's a lot of the shop owners because they can't, if they were to go into the masjid, mm-hmm. to get back out,
it would take hours. Yeah.
It took us an hour, mm-hmm. a whole hour. Anyway, so we like we prayed and then we finally found Aisha and Yasin. Mm-hmm. Then we got food and then before our flight, or actually, no, we were taking a train to Jeddah. Mm-hmm. Before our train, we were like, oh, you know what? Let's buy gold in Medina because they say like, you know, if you buy gold, like inshallah, it'll be like a cause for you to come back. Mm-hmm. Like it'll bring you back. I don't know. So I was like, oh my God, okay. So then me and Aisha went in the store.
Best excuse to buy gold. No,
literally. Me and Aisha went in the store and we were like, okay, let's get like matching bracelets or something. Mm-hmm. And so we went into the store and we actually ended up getting this bracelet here.
Oh, the one you're wearing now.
Yeah.
Okay.
We both got it. And so we got it. And the thing is that we actually purchased it the night before, but they had to be resized.
Oh, okay.
And we told the guy like, we need it by 4 o'clock because our train isn't, I think our train was leaving at like 6:30 or 7.
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, I may or may not be able to do it. I'm like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. So let me tell you like let me tell you the story. Mm-hmm. So the night before we give him our information.
Yeah.
He takes down my phone number and then I had to put down a 200 riyal deposit.
Yeah.
So we come back after Jummah prayer and he's like, come back at 4 o'clock. We come back. He's like, oh, like the guy's on his way. And I'm like, brother, like we're going to miss our train. Like, are you sure? He's like, no, I promise. He's going to be here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool. I believe Aisha had to, where did she had to go? Oh, no. She picked up her bracelet.
Oh, hers was ready?
The bracelets came.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he gave her hers and then she had to go back and I think pick up something with Yasin. Mm-hmm. So I was still there. I pick up mine and then I leave. So now we're like rush, like literally I ordered an Uber and we're waiting for it on the side of the road and I've walked away from the gold
store.
And
when you say Uber, is it actual Uber or like?
Yeah, Uber works.
Oh, okay.
Was it Uber? Yeah, Uber.
Okay.
Uber. Mm-hmm. Then I keep getting calls from this random number and I'm like, who is this? So I finally pick it up and he's like, sorry, I didn't pick it up. He sends me a voice note on WhatsApp. Sister, you forgot your deposit because he had told me I'm going to give you your deposit back because he didn't include it in the final fee.
Really? You, okay.
So I'm like, deposit? What deposit? I'm like, oh, the $200. And I was like, wow, he's so honest. So I told my parents, I'm like, hold the Uber. I will be back. I'm going to run. So I sprinted.
Yeah. How far was this from the Uber?
Like a good 10-minute walk. Like we walked. We left. It's been like almost an hour. Yeah. Or maybe like 30 minutes. So I'm running back, like, frantic, trying to find the place. Mm-hmm. I come back. The guy sees me. He's like, you're here and your receipt, your tax receipt. And I'm like, mashallah. Wow. So this is what it means Medina, to be. Okay. Yeah. This is what it means to be in a Muslim country. Yeah. Like, he actually gave it back. Mm-hmm. Like Amir, I don't. To me,
I
wouldn't
be too surprised.
Like,
you know, these are
no. I
people,
was surprised. Okay?
Yeah, but then you do. It's because you do hear stories of like people trying. But you know, I feel like that's more of the exception more than the rule.
But it was also because I forgot about the deposit.
Yeah, at that, if it was me, I'd been too lazy to go back. I'd be like, brother, that's your blessing right there.
I mean, low key, I needed it because I was going to Jeddah.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
So I was like,
and we said 200. Do you mean like 200 American?
No, like their currency.
Yeah. Okay.
So I take it, make it back to the Uber. Mm-hmm. We go back to our hotel and then frantic. We got to make it to our train. Our train was at 6:30. I believe it was like 5:45. Mm-hmm. We had to make it.
And are they like on time over there? Oh, okay.
So now we get to the train station. Here's the thing. Remember when I told y'all last episode that I got all these tickets with my dad's old passport number? Mm-hmm. So I'm like stressed again because I remembered that.
Yeah.
The first time we got away with it, but I'm like two times. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So we get to the train station and I'm like, we're trying to get to Medina. Jeddah. We're in Medina already. They're like, oh, just go that way. Why did we go up an elevator and find ourselves on the platform without having to scan our tickets?
Oh, no. But like some train stations, don't they scan it on the actual train?
No one scanned our tickets. Like at all. At all. We just got into the train station. I don't know how.
Yeah.
But we just, we just got on.
But it, like,
I don't know. I don't know how we did it.
It is kind of similar to, like, you know how here, if you take the GO train, you can just kind of walk on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's like that. You can just walk on, and technically, if no one checks, then you're good.
But it's weird because, like, you have to go through these gates. Mm-hmm. But because we had all these suitcases with us,
yeah,
they're like, oh, just take the elevator. But the elevator takes you right to right to the platform.
You know, they're just a very trusting people. Like, you know what? You look like a trusting person. Right. I trust you bought the tickets.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Like, we get on the train. Mm-hmm. And, like, when I tell you, we were running, like, mm-hmm. running to catch this train.
Yeah.
We get on, and then I'm like, okay, we're fine. Mm-hmm. We make it to Jeddah. It's so hot there.
Mm-hmm. And this is just to get to the airport, right?
Well, no, we actually stayed a day and a half in Jeddah.
Oh, okay.
And then we ended up, like, I think we spent most of our time shopping. Mm-hmm. We went to this mall. It was called Serafi Mall or Serafi Mall or something like that.
Okay.
Amir, imagine a whole mall with just Avayas. Gizman and I, like, just looked at the mall with, like, heart eyes. We were like, okay, we have this much time, yeah. Red. And we, like, went to a bunch of stores, like, honestly.
What were the men doing this whole time?
Okay, so I felt so bad for Yasin because we thought, yeah, like, it's a mall. Surely they should have some men's, yeah, clothing. Nothing.
Nothing?
He walked all four levels. Nothing. I felt so bad.
Oh, my God.
They had nothing there. And mm-hmm. then we went to, like, some other, like, markety areas. Yeah. Bought some bukhur and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. That was our full day. Yeah. And then the next morning at, like, 4 or 5 a.m., we had to fly to Oman. Mm-hmm. So we make it to Oman. Mm-hmm. And we get there. It's like during the I think it was like around 1 p.m. Oman mm-hmm. is so beautiful. Like, truly, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Like, I knew of it, and I knew that was, like, a place that I wanted to visit. Mm-hmm. But I think I've only really looked up, like, the really big mosque, the Sultan.
Yeah, the one you see. It's a white one, no?
Mosque. No, that one's Abu Dhabi.
Oh, that's a university mosque, right?
Oh, that's Qatar.
Yeah. Oh, that's Qatar. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this one?
Yeah.
Massive. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what else to expect. So we get to Oman, and similar to Medina, like, mm-hmm. their landscape is, like, mountainous. Mm-hmm. And there's all these beautiful mountains, but then there's also, like, beaches. It's just so, like...
Yeah. One thing I've heard is that Oman is, like, a very beach city.
It did give that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... But that means, like, I feel like they said that was very chill, though, too. Like, super, like, there's not really much else going on in Oman. I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, okay, so the way that I mm-hmm. kind of saw it, and the hotel that we booked and everything, I kind of wanted it to be, like, let's decompress after, like, such a big trip, I see, you know?
Yeah. So that makes sense then, yeah.
It felt like that, mm-hmm. but, like, I truly didn't know what to expect, so everything was, like, catching me by surprise. Yeah. But it was just so beautiful. Like, Amir, we have to go. Like, I'm determined.
If you compare, like, the architecture and what it looks like to, like, I don't know, places that we're more familiar with, like Abu Dhabi or Dubai.
No, nothing like that.
Nothing like that?
Think of, like, more Spain.
Oh, okay, really?
You know how it had, like, lower buildings, not too many high rises?
Yeah.
All of the buildings and stuff mm-hmm. were white.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they reflect the sun more instead of... So it keeps everything a little bit cooler, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, while it's a very wealthy country,
yeah,
it still gives very much, like, traditional cultural vibes.
So it's basically like if Dubai or Abu Dhabi went the more traditional route than the more like, technological route.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like it's more untouched because of that compared to, like, Dubai or Abu Dhabi? Like, Abu Dhabi and Dubai seem like they're more, like, favoring or they're, like, leading towards attracting more of a Western audience. But do you feel like Oman is the opposite? Where they kind of are sticking to their culture more?
Yes and no, because mm-hmm. they still have a lot of, like, technologically advanced
Not the technologically advanced stuff, uh-huh. but I'm talking about, like, because, like...
The vibe, you mean?
Yeah, like, Western people from Western countries yeah. are used to seeing more high-rises.
Yes.
Like, there are certain amenities that they're used to.
Yeah.
Versus to, like Spain. Spain was... It was very, like... They weren't appeasing, like, to more of the Western... view, even though they are technically part of the West, it still kept a lot of its, like, very almost Arab nature,
yeah,
and, like, still very they kept all their older architecture and just like reused it and like fixed it up as best they could, but continued to use it instead of demolishing it all and putting up new buildings. Like what I feel like they happened, but even Dubai, you can say like there was nothing there already, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I think they really prided themselves with maintaining their culture.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, everywhere you looked at the airports, the taxi drivers, the hotel staff were wearing their traditional like Omani cultural clothing.
Okay.
So for men, it's like the Omani style thobe.
Like the one I think Yasin was wearing, I believe.
No, so Omani style is like it doesn't have a collar.
Oh, that's like the one I have,
and it has a blue string.
Yeah,
yes, that okay, one. Yeah, yeah. So that's Omani style, and their hats.
Yeah, I love the Omani style.
It's so nice, and like the their hat that they wear, it's like think of like a gay koloita, like the Harari hat,
that's longer.
But like longer, and it, like they all have different styles of how they like crease it up and stuff. But it's just so like, it's so nice to see.
Yeah,
like it's very nice to see. I don't know, like everywhere.
Are the people there more like darker skinned as well?
We look Omani.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I was about to say like
they look like us.
Okay.
there are some that are more like fair skinned.
Yeah,
but they
the lighter skinned. Okay,
sorry. Yeah, you're right,
lighter skinned. Okay.
you're right.
I get you, because like I kept seeing posts also from Yasin where people were mistaking him for an Omani person.
Because he was wearing the hat.
Yeah.
So they really thought
so like... So they were coming up to him speaking Arabic. He's like, I'm sorry, brother. I don't know what you're saying.
No, for real. Like, and for us, like obviously if you're wearing abaya, they'll assume. But like if my dad was mostly wearing like pants and a shirt, they knew he was probably a tourist.
Yeah.
But it was just like the food. Okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that Hararis have Oman cultural or Omani culture in their ancestry. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why. Okay. When we went out for dinner, we're looking at the menu. Why does it say Haris? And then just for shits and gigs, my dad ordered it. Why was it Haris? Like the Haris that our moms make. You know, like the oatmeal with the goat.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it was so good.
I can see that. Like, because if you think about it, Ethiopia is right across the water from Saudi. And then that whole region, when we were having like, because Harari specifically were, we were a very big trade city like a couple hundred years ago or a hundred years ago. Yeah, almost a couple of hundred years ago now. So I feel like a lot of the items or the foods and maybe the culture and even the clothing kind of like came through our city and vice versa. So maybe that's where that connection is coming from.
But it was like one thing was the food.
Mm-hmm.
But then we went to the market. And I saw straight up Atlas and Geganaki, and I was like, these are my people.
Yeah.
I'm claiming Omani at this point.
I would have searched up immediately, Omani wedding, just to see.
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
It looks like Geganaki. I have to show you.
No way.
Amir, it's actually trippy. Look, Omani bride.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me this isn't Geganaki?
Oh, yeah, it totally is. It looks, it gives me like both Indian and Harari vibes.
Like a mix of the two, right? But... like
even there at the last is more like it covers their whole face versus ours where it just covers the top.
Look at this though. Okay, this was in the store. Does that not look like Atlas?
This is where we get our stuff.
And I was like, that's so crazy. Like look at all of this. It's so crazy. And then even their architecture, when we went to one of the restaurants, like it was very much giving Harar, like Jogol area. Like, I truly, and my dad was loving it. Yeah. So my dad's really big on, like, watching YouTube documentaries, like, YouTube travel videos. Yeah. He's watched one about Oman, like, I want to say, like, during COVID. And so ever since then, like, Oman has always been on my mind. And so he was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, just asking all these questions. Yeah. So Oman, I would say, like, out of all the cities I've ever visited, like, in my top five for sure, easily.
Okay, I'm down.
I'm going to plan a cousin trip. We're going
Do it.
We're going again. We have to.
Yeah.
The one thing that took me for a spin, like truly shook me to my core, was their conversion, though.
Oh, is it bad?
So let me tell you. What? We ordered a taxi from the airport to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was maybe like, I don't know, 15, 20 minute ride. It wasn't that far.
Mm-hmm.
It said 7 Omani Riyal. And I was like, easy. That's cheap.
Yeah.
$7? I could do that.
Yeah.
Until later that day, we wanted to convert some cash.
Mm-hmm.
I had 200 Canadian thinking I was going to be balling.
Yeah.
Why did I get 49 Omani real back? 40? 49. And I said, how much is your service fee? Like, where is the rent? He's like, what service fee? So I was like, sorry, what's the conversion?
Mm-hmm.
It was one.
It's like one, almost 1 to 4.
1 to 4, basically. It was like 3.95 something.
That's crazy.
Like, actually insane, right?
Yeah. No, but that makes sense because they're like rich in oil.
Yeah.
So.
But.
Yeah, they have a lot of leverage. They're, yeah, okay,
although,
it makes sense.
Although their conversion was really, really mm-hmm. high, the cost of things weren't as high. So like when you're.
Well, like I'm sure it's relative, right? So like. One Omani rial would probably be like you can buy a sandwich or something like that.
Yeah, like for like two, like for like a full meal,
or
for
two,
example.
Mm-hmm.
For a full meal, like we're maybe paying like for like five of us, mm-hmm. we were maybe paying like 30, 40 rial. Well, actually, that's kind of
yeah,
a lot.
That's still almost $200. That's like 100, 4 or 5 people. Yeah, you know what? $150.
We ordered a lot of food, like appetizers,
not really
drinks.
That much. I'm just saying, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You're
yeah.
on vacation.
Yeah,
you're not trying to limit yourself.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But like, but overall shopping wasn't it wasn't that bad. Even
yeah.
buying gold there was actually a lot cheaper mm-hmm. than in Saudi.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to cut it short and sweet.
Yeah.
Last leg of the trip, Qatar, Doha.
Mm-hmm.
I was like. Doha. Okay, so I was already in awe of Oman, okay?
Yeah.
But Oman was like, wow, this is 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
We got to Doha, and I've been to Dubai a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Dubai, it's wow. It's wow.
Yeah.
But because I've been a couple times, I'm almost like desensitized to it.
Mm-hmm.
But Doha? Wow. Like, truly.
Really?
Yeah.
But like, what can be so wow? Like, what's the difference?
Well,
what's really wow?
What I'll give them is that they had the FIFA World Cup in 2023
yeah
2022 something like that. I
was it
remember.
Doha
yeah in Qatar remember
oh it was in Qatar oh
yeah.
Doha, it's Qatar.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Okay, keep going.
So their government
yeah.
really shelled out all the coins
yeah.
and like beautified the city
mm-hmm.
like to the point where they had these like lit up palm tree looking lights
mm-hmm.
all through their roads.
Oh, every road had
yeah,
one.
Like everywhere. And
yeah.
like there. So you know how like Toronto has a really nice skyline. It's
mm-hmm.
known for that. The Doha skyline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like pockets and their skies, like their architecture.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like nothing you've ever seen before. These buildings are so cool.
Are
looking.
They the one that has that like really big moon shaped looking statue? I don't even know if you call it a statue or a structure.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember seeing it. It's like, and it has like Arabic writing on it.
Oh, no, that's a library in Dubai.
Oh, that's in Dubai. Okay.
Yeah, it's like the egg-shaped
yeah.
one, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to look up the skyline.
What like really big, like, you know, centerpiece do they have? Like we have the CN Tower. Dubai has like the Burj Khalifa.
Mm-hmm.
What does Doha have? Or yeah, what does Doha have? Do they have something like that? That like sticks out right away that you see?
I don't know if they have like...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's this building, this like U-shaped one. Like, look at these pictures.
Okay. Yeah, that U-shaped one would probably be like...
unique.
Yeah, pretty unique. That's definitely
yeah.
something that would stick out to me.
But like, imagine like, Amir, it's very futuristic.
It's also, you know what it is? At mm-hmm. nighttime, they're lights. The
yes.
lights of the buildings. Yeah,
yeah,
that's really a big thing.
And so like, I remember,
because
mm-hmm. We left Oman pretty like... sunset.
Yeah.
And we got to Doha pretty like late in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was that person... that literally stuck my head like not out the window but
yeah.
like on the window and just like looked out the window, like, wow, this place is so beautiful. But then I'm like, oh crap, I have to vlog.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, I think I would actually pick Doha over Dubai any day now.
How far is Doha / Qatar from Dubai? Like Doha specifically, how far is it?
Maybe like an hour and a half.
Drive?
Flight.
Oh, flight. Oh, okay.
I think you could drive. I
well,
don't
like,
know.
Yeah. An
They're
hour and a half,
golf.
That means it would probably be like a 12-hour, 8-hour drive.
What?
Yeah, because if it's an hour and a half from here to like New York, it depends on if it's like a straightaway, that kind of thing.
But I think Canada is a lot bigger than...
Because
it's because Ontario is really big. So
I'm thinking relative to the drive. Because if our drive is 8 hours
yeah.
from here to New York, or yeah, 8 to 9 hours, depending on the traffic, whatever... to New York
mm.
and that's and but if you take a flight to New York it's about an hour and a half, so I'd say no matter how far something is or like not how far but it would be relatively the same, a drive, because it's just a speed calculation, right? If you're going 110 or 120 kilometers per hour versus 500 kilometers per hour on a plane, you just have to like cut that by the fourth. You know,
maybe.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Not important. Whatever.
but it's close enough. Yeah. Like you could probably go between the two. Yeah. But another place that we have to go. I'm planning a cousin's trip.
we're just going to do full golf trip. We're just.
No, literally. I mean, we're going to go broke.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine.
Hey.
I thought it actually wasn't as bad as Oman.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, even though with the conversion is bad, if the prices are relatively the same, then it's like, it's whatever, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Mm-hmm. And then one thing that I really genuinely like thought was so cool.
Yeah.
Was we went to, what was it called? There's this really famous, like, I guess market in Doha. What was it called? Hold on.
Famous market. World market. Doha market.
I'm searching it. No, it's called.
You know what's funny? Actually, I was driving to. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Souk Waqif.
What?
Souk Waqif.
Souk Waqif.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
So this is like a huge tourist attraction.
Yeah. A mall?
It's not a mall. It's like a. I mean, Qatar has like very nice malls. We didn't actually get to go to all of the big ones, but I know Aisha went to one of them. I think it's called Valencia or something. Mm-hmm. But imagine they had a mall that like looked like you were in Venice because they had friggin' canals inside the mall.
In the mall?
And you could take boat rides and the ceiling looked like a sky.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Vegas or something?
No, literally. For real.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to go. So in my mind, mentally, I was like, I'm coming back here.
Yeah. You always got to leave something behind so you can come back and be like, I didn't get to see that. I'm going to go and see that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but if you're with me, it'd probably be more like adventures. I'll be like, let's go ATV riding, guys. Let's go camel riding.
Yeah,
let's
but I had to be considered as well when I was with my parents, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, they want to shop. I get it. Yeah. We'll do that. So I took them to the souk and I underestimated, again, because I underestimate everything.
Yeah.
How big this, it was a maze, first of all. Mm-hmm. And again, so it's I think in like Latin countries they call it siesta, where they close during certain hours of the day. They do the same. So between the Dhuhr and Asr they close the markets. We didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised they do it in the winter.
Yeah, I know.
When it's cooler.
Anytime. Mm-hmm. So like between, I think it's like between 12 and 4. Mm-hmm. So they close at, or yeah, like 1 and 4 they close.
Yeah.
And it's known. So all the shops close, people come back. And then even the malls, same thing.
Yeah.
Like the regular malls. So when we were at the, like we took that time to just have lunch.
Yeah.
But, you know, at one point we're walking and I start to hear like birds chirping.
Mm-hmm. In the souk.
In the souk, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like, think of like, you know, like Toronto Premium Outlets, how it's kind of like indoor outdoor.
Oh, yeah.
Think of that. It's like that vibe. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, next alley, I'm hearing all these birds chirping. I'm like, what is that? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, Mom, can you come this way? I just want to see, like, why does it sound like a rainforest? Yeah. I want to see what's going on. I walk through this aisle of mirror and there were hundreds of birds, hundreds in cages, different types, parrots, parakeets, pigeons, doves, ducks, chickens, whatever. And they're it's so loud. Like all you hear is just like chirping.
In cages?
Yes.
Was it like a bird market?
Yeah.
Oh.
So in the souk,
yeah,
they have different areas for different things.
Yeah.
So they have like a spice market. Mm-hmm. Then they have like textiles. Then they have perfumes and they have gold and like literally everything. I made it to the bird market. I didn't know they had one.
Yeah.
So now we're in this bird market. I'm like in awe. I'm like, oh my God, there's so many animals. Then I keep walking. There's more to the aisle. And they had other pets. They had rabbits, hamsters, cats. They had kittens.
Oh, it's like a pet store.
Yeah, but like just in these aisles and they were all like just out and about. Yeah. And they were so
cute. They weren't in like those like cage window things that you see sometimes?
They were in cages where like, so that, you know me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a weakness for cats.
Hey,
so
I
walked
too.
Up and I was like, can I please pet the cat?
Yeah.
So he opened the cage. He told me it was 400 riyal. I'm like, even if it was 1,000, I would spend it on this little baby.
400 riyal?
Yeah.
Times that by 4?
Well, no. This is Qatar. So I...
Okay. Shoot.
I don't know. What's the current... I can't remember. I think that converts to like maybe $150, $200.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, I fell in love with this cat. It was a fluffy orange kitten that was like maybe like 6 weeks old. And I was like, I'm gonna take it. So I looked at my dad and I was like, Dad. Mm-hmm. He's like, Sara. No.
Yeah.
And I was like, but look. And my dad, don't ever let him fool you. He loves cats. Because he was like, let me see her.
Is that the picture I saw? With your dad holding a cat?
That was in Mecca.
Oh, okay, okay.
My dad and Yasin, two biggest cat lovers.
Of course.
Any cat they saw.
I think I even saw Aisha post something being like, this might have convinced us to get a cat.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
They're getting one.
Yeah.
When they're done their travels, I'm sure they're getting one. But we didn't get the kitten. Mm-hmm. But then we looked to the back of the store and there is...
What?
This massive parrot. And when I tell you massive, from head to like the end of its feathers from the tail, I want to say it was like at least 2 feet.
2 feet?
It was huge. Like huge.
Yeah.
And it was not in a cage. It was sitting on this like wooden rod.
I don't think it's a cage big enough for that one. In there.
So I'm like, oh my God, is that real?
Yeah.
So I'm like, Dad, go like poke it.
What?
Because it was so still.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, is that, I can't tell if that's real. It wasn't moving. So he was like, here, he gives me the cat back. And I put the cat back in the cage and now I'm watching him. So he goes close and the bird slowly like it turns. So my dad's like, oh, it's real. And it screamed so loud. We all jumped and ran. The shop owner was dying. He's like, I should have told you it was real. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, how does it just sit there? He's like, yeah, he's just used to it.
Yeah, he's chill like that.
But like, I've never seen that in my life. Just like so many pets.
Yeah.
It was just insane. And so I told Gizman, I'm like, you need to bring Yasin here. Like, there's all these. And they ended up going.
Oh, I thought they were with you too. Okay.
No, at this point, we separated. I can't remember why. But I had told her, I'm like, make sure you guys come back here before you leave. Because they actually ended up staying an extra day in Qatar. Like, they flew out the next morning.
You guys were going home after this, right?
Exactly. And so we actually ended off, we went to the MENA district, which is another tourist attraction. It's like a neighborhood where it's like all pastel buildings. Very much like...
Mexico?
Think like Malibu.
Ah, okay.
Like that. It's like off the water, like very chill vibes. So beautiful. Very beautiful scenery. I think during the daytime and the nighttime. And that's the nice thing about Qatar is it looks nice both times of, of the day. And so we finally, you know, our trip is coming to an end. We pack up all of our stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we stayed at the W in Doha. Hella bougie, I know. But the staff there, 10 out of 10.
Hey, if you're paying for bougie.
I'm
expecting bougie service, okay?
they were so kind.
Yeah.
Like 10, truly 10 out of 10. But also in Oman, because at one point I thought I lost my camera. So I was, the whole hotel
it's like,
knew.
Get the search team.
No, they actually all knew. The next morning for breakfast, they're like, did you find your camera? I was like, yeah, it was in my bag.
Nice. Sorry. Oh, no.
I know. Because they were like, you know, frantic about it too.
That was like me and, oh, sorry, I'm about to cut it off there. But in Detroit, I thought at one point I lost my wallet.
Oh, my God.
And like, it literally turned into a citywide search. Okay, not a whole citywide search, but like, there's only two places we could have left it. We could have left in Windsor. Oh. Or like the spot we stopped off right before we got to the person's house we were staying at. So literally in the middle of the night, me and Hannah, we just drove out to this like parking lot and just walked around this whole parking lot being like, how could I have dropped it? I can't believe someone must have picked it up. I was like going through my app, locking all. Apparently now you can lock cards instead of just canceling them. So I started locking all my cards so no one could use them. Tell me why the moment we get back, I'm like, you know, let me just check my bag one more time. Open the pocket. I check under something. It's right there. This is literally after 4 hours of searching.
But why didn't you look there first?
No, I did. But it was like the pocket. There's three pockets, right? The middle pocket. I guess something inside the first big pocket was pushing it. So whatever was sitting on top, I thought that was the bottom of the pocket. But when I pulled that out and like pushed back whatever's inside, there was like another deeper part of it that... But yeah, you can go ahead about your, happens. You know, your fly back and whatever. Okay, yeah, I'm just saying.
So, if you guys recall last episode, I did say that maybe I am the problem when it comes to travel.
Yeah.
Anyways, we get to the airport. And we just barely make it, okay? Our flight is in an hour and a half, and this line was moving so slow that now my anxiety's kicked in.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to need y'all to hurry up. There was like a customer service rep. I think he was like the manager. Mm-hmm. He starts chatting me up, and I'm like, listen, I know you're doing your job. I know you're trying to like, and he's like, listen, come. He's like, what time's your flight? And I was telling him, he's like, mm-hmm. you're a nice girl. Come, come. So he, you know,
yeah,
makes us go through. We get through smoothly. It's mm-hmm. fine. We make our flight. We sit down. We're comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Is this a straight flight?
No, unfortunately not. Okay. So we actually landed in Dubai. Mm-hmm. When I first planned it, I'm like, 2 hours in Dubai. That's enough time.
To go out and like look at things?
Or just like have a meal. Have a meal in the airport.
Okay.
Little did I know or realize when I booked these tickets mm-hmm. that we landed in one terminal and had to go to another to catch the next flight. Mm. I didn't know.
Yeah, so, I'm sure it's like not easy to get.
No. We took, yeah. So we land and now we're like, we land and then we had to get on a bus. So remember when you like get to Ethiopia, you have to take those buses? Do you remember when you had to take those buses? Maybe you didn't take one when we went last time.
No,
because we went straight to Diredoa.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're in Addis, they make you take these shuttle buses. Mm-hmm. Like you walk off the plane through the stairs.
Oh, no, I do know. Yeah, I do know. You yeah, do that, yeah. Right? Because they like land not at the airport, but like on a tarmac.
Yes.
And like out in the parking lot with the airport. And yeah. Then you, yeah, I remember that.
So
yeah.
We did the same. Mm-hmm. And so we get on the first bus, takes us to a terminal, mm-hmm. and the guy's like, everyone take your boarding passes out. And I'm like, oh, side note, we didn't get our boarding passes for Dubai to Toronto because we had to get it at the airport. And mm-hmm. I was just like, damn it.
Couldn't get an online one?
No, they it's like a restriction.
Yeah.
So I'm like, whatever, fine. So we get to this place. The guy's like, where's your boarding pass? And I pull out my Doha to Dubai one. He's like, no, your next one. Where are you going? And I was like, I don't have it. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm going to Toronto. And mm-hmm. he's like, oh, yeah, you got to take the next bus. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, go down the hall, go here, get the bus. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So now we go, we find the place, and everyone's just sitting there.
Yeah.
So I see the worker. I'm like, hi. Yeah, sorry, our flight is in an hour and a half. I'm just curious, like, how long is the next bus? He goes, 30 minutes. I'm like, sorry? He's like, okay, wait, let me check.
Yeah.
So he checks. He's like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, fine. So my parents, I feel like I've given them my anxiety because now they're like, we're standing in the front. Mm. We're not even going to sit down.
Yeah.
So they stood. And so we now get on this bus. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. Okay, we get on the bus, whatever. The ride to the next terminal took about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sweating at this point because I'm like, oh my God, we have 50 minutes to get mm-hmm. on to get to our terminal.
Yeah.
So now we get to the terminal and everyone is like, there's a lot of people on this bus too. So it's like people are taking the escalator.
Yeah.
There was one guy on a wheelchair that was kind of like near us. Mm-hmm. And there was a worker who was telling him, and then he looks at my dad. He's like, brother, there's a secret elevator. Go over there. But my dad looks at him. He's like, just like a thank you. It was just us and yeah. the guy in the wheelchair. We got in the elevator. Everyone else was like struggling to get up the escalator. Yeah. We just peacefully went up.
See, shout out to our disabled people. Okay. they know all the tricks. Okay.
So we get to the top level mm-hmm. and then I'm like, all right, so we are A1. Okay. Mm-hmm. C11. Shouldn't be that far. Mm-hmm. Why are there like 71 friggin' gates?
Do they not have those like escalators that like are flat, the flat ones?
No.
The accelerators? What do they call them?
They do, the movators.
Movators, yeah. I feel so, like accelerators is a better name.
It is.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
But it's too close to escalator.
That's why. You know, it's like a play on words. Okay, whatever. Okay. Go ahead.
So I'm trying to find the little board that says mm-hmm. Like how far your gate is. Mm-hmm. Why did it say 25 minutes? And I was like, stress
by walk,
yes, by walk.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm trying to find a hotel mm-hmm. airport staff. I'm like, excuse me, listen, the flight's in 45 minutes. I need to get on this flight. It's my yeah. flight home. And he was like, okay, what's the issue? I'm like, I'm gonna miss it. The gate's too far. Can you get me a car? He's like, listen, you just have to trust yourself.
he's like, bun that. Here's a motivational speech.
So I looked at him. I'm like, I do trust myself. It's the airport I don't trust.
Yeah.
He's like, you'll be fine. if you miss it, come back and find me. I was like, are you for real right now? Yeah. Like, all right, fine. So I look at my parents and I said, look, C11, go. We're in Amazing Race.
Yeah.
My mom books it and she's little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you picture mom. Elbow flying out.
Clutching onto the purse.
Yeah, exactly.
So she, the reason why she was able to go so fast is because she had a carry-on that was basically empty.
Yeah.
No bag. Why? Because my dad, miskin, if he's listening to this, he's probably just like, y'all played me. Mm-hmm. We bought a backpack, put stuff in it. It was around 35, 40 pounds. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not reacting to that?
Oh, the backpack. Why am I thinking? Oh, shoot. I thought of your actual carry-on.
The backpack was heavy.
So he was carrying that on his back.
On his back.
This man had a my first workout in a while.
My mom's duffel bag.
Yeah.
And the carry-on.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, trucking through. Mm-hmm. My mom's just like flying with her.
This reminds me of that like one scene from Amazing Race where there's this dude, like they had to like run to the end of the line or they had to run to finish the line. The guy, it's a girl and a guy. The guy drops his bag and starts sprinting towards the end of the line, whatever. And he leaves his wife with the two bags. So then you see his wife crying, holding her bag.
No.
It's like 50 pounds and holding his bag. And she's literally having a breakdown as he's running. And he got mad at her.
Nah, that's I don't want to say the D word, but.
Yeah, it was a famous clip. So that's crazy. Maybe I'll find it here and throw it in there.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. No, my dad was holding the bags this time. Mm-hmm. And I said, see you at the finish line. And so.
Because honestly, you just need someone to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, mind you, I had all the passports. Mm-hmm. So I was in the middle. Mm-hmm. And we get on the movator. And, you know, I feel like only Torontonians actually know. Like,
Etiquette. I knew this was going to be the etiquette thing. I knew
because
it.
Because why are you on the left side in a full-on conversation? Mm-hmm. Move!
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me be polite. Excuse me, nothing. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Nothing. And I know I'm short and my voice may not be as loud. Yeah. So I'm like, excuse me. And then they all look at me.
Yeah.
I was like, hi, I'm about to miss my flight and I would really appreciate if you guys could just move over to the right, please. And they're like, oh, okay. And they move over and I just start running like
frantically. Yeah, you're nicer than me, man. I would have just like kicked their stuff to the side and just kept going.
It was a whole family.
Huh? So either way, man, just like stop blocking the way. What are you doing?
So I'm running.
Yeah.
And as I'm running, why do I see my mom so far? And I'm like, how did she get this? Yeah. She was behind me. So then she's already at the gate waiting for me. Yeah. I'm like dripping in sweat. I have my friggin' thick ass cardigan.
Yeah.
My duffel bag.
Because you're like, you're getting ready to go to Canada.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we dressed up to go back home. Mm-hmm. So I'm like dripping and I'm looking at the lady. I'm like, hi, here's our stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, you just made it. And I was like, thank
Now just wait 10 minutes as my dad comes out.
So she's like scanning everything and she's like, Muhammad Ali, looking for him. And he finally shows up. And then she looks at all of our stuff. She's like, oh. Mm-hmm. She tells us like we can't take our carry-on suitcases, one of them. So my dad, who's like exhausted, he's like, I'm taking my suitcases on. I don't care what you say. And he like holds it with him. Mm-hmm. And so I look at her. I was like, I'm so sorry. Here, you can take my mom's. So I gave her my mom's one.
Yeah.
She's like, don't worry. You'll be able to get it like baggage claim like you with
your
other stuff.
Yeah, ain't got nothing in anyways. What's up?
I was like, do you have anything in here, mom? She's like, no. She can take it. So we give it to her. We get on the flight. Knockout. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, we made it home. But when I opened my eyes and I looked out the window and I saw white.
I know. It all just comes back to you. Your life, depression.
It hit me like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. Then when I got off the plane
and
that cold, frigid air shook my bones.
I know. And then, of course, we had the worst winter storm we've ever seen in years.
Twice.
Yeah.
In a week.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn. Mm-hmm. Damn.
But you know what? You came back blessed and highly favored. So nothing can bring you down now, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I really just appreciated the trip for what it was.
Yeah.
Made dua that I get to go back and bring all my loved ones.
Exactly.
And, you know, just kind of like still brought the motivation that I felt there back with me here. also right in time for Ramadan. You guys, by the time you're listening to this, Ramadan will be fries.
So. It'll be in either Saturday or Sunday.
Are you excited?
What?
Are you excited?
Yeah, it kind of came out of, like, not out of nowhere, but like people kept mentioning it, but like you're always so busy, right? And you got so much going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, it's like next week. I'm like, okay. But honestly, I get excited because it means it's like one less thing I have to worry about.
Food.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, all the other benefits as well.
Yeah.
But it's going to be different because this is the first time I'm spending Ramadan with my wife, like actually living together and figuring that out. So when it comes to like goals and stuff like that, now you have to take both of us. We have to think about both of us working together and like accomplishing that.
Right.
And like things we can do as a couple. So that's definitely going to be new and different this year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's more of just like anticipating that and see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, you know, we've gotten a couple of requests like, are you guys going to be doing Ramadan content?
Yeah.
I think we are.
Yeah, we're trying to plan. You know, it kind of came out of nowhere, but
We're going to plan something.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be like a month of reflection.
Yeah.
A month of, you know, devotion, I guess you could say.
Devotion?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those words.
Yeah.
You can just use
one of those words.
Yeah. Interchangeable.
But, you know, we're excited. And I know Amir always does this cool, like, animation when it's Ramadan with, like, the lanterns and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pull that one out of the woodworks again.
When I saw that for the first time, I was like, wow, that's so cool. Hey,
YouTube, man. But, yeah, we're excited and we're ready for Ramadan. It's going to be new experiences, inshallah. And you're going to be here to hear about it. But until then, if you liked what Sarah told today, if you want to hear more about our adventures, make sure to subscribe to the channel. Also, follow us on Cousin Connection Pod. Mm-hmm. We've been posting clips about previous episode of things that happened there. So if you haven't been able to watch the whole thing, you can check out some clips there.
Look out for the vlog.
Oh, yeah. Eventually. And of course, we've started working on the vlog. So keep a lookout for that one as well. You know, Sarah's going to be maybe help a little bit better. And now
maybe the executive producer.
Exactly. So we'll see how that goes. But until then, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.